Okay, today's daf is daf pei vav. So the mission begins. Minayin lepoletes shechvas zera b'yom hashlishi sheitei tmeya. How do you know that if a woman had been with a man and she's poletes shechvas zera comes out of her body that it's still tamei even on the third day from last having tashmish? How do you know? So the pasuk, the mishnah invokes the pasuk shenemar with respect to kabbalah satara. It says hayu nechonim shloshes yamim al tikshu el aisha, that a person should make sure as they are preparing to receive the Torah, they should not touch a woman for 3 days, because had it been less than 3 days, 2 days, and the woman would have been poletes shechvas zera, she would be tameh, and everyone had to make sure to be tahor when receiving the Torah. So of course this is very appropriate. It perhaps would have been nicer had it fallen out on Shavuos day itself, but still it's Isur Chag in Chutzlart of Shavuos, so still very connected, the Daf Yomi, to the calendar year. So they had to make sure that they were tahor. So even on the third day, if she were to be poletes shechvas zera, it would make her tameh. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, four lines down, Sheyehei Timea, Diyom HaShlishi Akati Lo Misracha Shechvas Zera. On the third day, the Shechvas Zera is still not ruined, it's still considered strong enough, potent enough, the ability to have children, it could turn into a Zera, therefore it's still Tameh. V'ru'uyo Liklo Lios Vlad Notzar, Heimana, since even after the third day, the Zera has the ability to turn into a child, therefore it still has the ability to be Metameh. Look at Tosos for a second. The top Tosos here says Tosos minayin lepoletes shenemar hayu nichonim l'shloshes yamim the afal pi shebaosos shah adayin lo nitna Torah. Even though when they're being prepared, they're preparing themselves for Kabbalah Torah, the Torah wasn't yet given. So who cares about the halachas of Tumah v'Tahara? So even though the Torah wasn't yet given, Tosos points out, mikol malka mistama hikpidu Torah al davar she'osed lios Tuma Acher Matan Torah. Mistama, they were concerned with the mamish, the hachana, the preparation of the Torah, of the Kabbalah Torah. It was understood that all the lachas that were to be given afterwards were ready in place right before Kabbalah Torah. So that's the first din of the Mishnah, the din of Poletes at Shechvas Zera on the third day. The Mishnah then says, "Minayin shemarchitzin es amila b'yom hashlishi shel chalios b'shabbos." How do you know that one may bathe a child after having a bris on the third day since the mila, even if it falls on Shabbos, and even though that means one must violate Shabbos in terms of boiling the water and heating up the water? How do you know? Shenemar, it says with respect to the story of Dina and Shechemin, when they told them the whole city of Shechem to get milas, so they finally killed the entire city. When? Shenemar, b'yom hashlishi b'yosim kravim, on the third day when they were very much in pain. The third day is the hardest, the most painful day of the bris mila. That's when they took advantage and killed the city of Shechem. So to a regular child, a newborn, the third day is the hardest and is a pikuach nefesh, as Rashi says. And since it's pikuach nefesh on the third day, you're allowed to do what you need to do, including marchitzin es ha-mila. And then the Mishnah goes on to say further, seemingly these have nothing to do with each other, but the first two are at least related with respect to the third day. But the third din of the Mishnah is as follows. It says, minayin shekoshin lashon shel zahuris b'rosh sar ha-mishalech. How do you know you have to tie a red string on the head of the Sar Mishalech, the goat that gets thrown off the cliff? How do you know? And it ends up turning white. Shenemar says in the Pasuk Yidishaya, Im yihu chataichem kashanim kashelag yabinu, that your sins will turn white as snow, so that red string turns white. And the fourth din in the Mishnah, again, seemingly not much to do with it, but it relates to Yom Kippur, as the previous din, minayin l'sicha shi kishtia b'yom ha-kippurim. How do you know that sicha, that rubbing oil on the body, is like drinking in Yom Kippur, that just like you can't drink in Yom Kippur, you also can't smear oil on the body? Ava pishein rai l'davar, even though there's no proof for it, there is a zeich l'davar, and it says in the Pasuk Shenemar, Tavo kamaim bekibo uchashemin batsmosav. The water entering in the body is like oil entering your bones. So we're comparing sicha to shtia. This is a very, very important din halacha l'maisa. There is a machlokus rishonim about whether or not this din only applies to Yom Kippur. But let's say regular day of the year, if I'm taking something that's usher to eat, usher to drink, can I rub that on my skin? So some rishonim say that this din is unique to Yom Kippur, while others say it applies to all isurim. This is very relevant, because I spoke about this on today's All Daf, and Daf in Practice. It's very relevant because many shampoos or many creams have animal fats in it, tchelev. So you're allowed to use that on the skin. Is that sicha kishtia? So there is a Ramah in Hilchos Shabbos that says on Shabbos, one cannot use chelev, you can't use animal fats, because it's nolad. You're changing the form from a solid to a liquid. The implication is that only on Shabbos is it aser, but during the week it's mutter, even though it's chaylev, even though it's asr to eat. The Gra, however, thinks it's a machlokas poskim. He says that even though the Ramah is talking about Shabbos, it's also asr during the week for a different reason. So the Be'er Halacha says the practice is to be lenient. The practice that people do use chaylev for shampoo and soap and others. There's an isr of sicha kishti is only by Yom Kippur. But he says the medaktik and those who are very particular about performing every single detail of halacha, they are careful to make sure not to use chaylev, shampoo with chaylev in it. And if it's very easily found to buy such shampoos and soap, that is highly recommended. So most people don't, but if you look at the ingredients, many shampoos and soaps have animal fats. So you have to start going through the ingredients and to see what has, what does not have, if you want to be makbid on this particular halacha. There's another reason to be makel as well. That's based on a Ramah in Hilchos Yerideya in Basa V'Chalav, where he says a person should not cook the ashes of a oven, because the ashes of the ovens that they used back then, ovens for milchiks and fleishiks together, so then the ashes had some milchiks and fleishiks. He said you shouldn't cook them when you make the water used for shampoo, because it's a violation of Bishul Basa V'Chalav. And he says that's a chumr ba'alma. But the Shach says, why is he only concerned of cooking the ashes of milchiks and fleishiks? Why isn't he concerned of putting on your head a shampoo? So the Shach says, because that's not really hanav. Since the ashes and everything there is not roi lachila, it's not subject to the isser of sicha kishtia. So since our shampoos and soaps are not roi lachila, that's another reason why one can make on this particular din. It's only talking about oil or something that's edible that we would apply sicha kishtia. Gemara now begins. Reisha Delo Kureb Elazar ben Azariah. Our ratio of the Mishnah, which said Poletes Shech Lazara is Tamei even on the third day, if it comes from a woman, it's not like Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Elazar is the one who holds, we'll see shortly, that the third day, the Poletes Shech Lazara is actually Tahor. However, the Seifa is Kureb Elazar ben Azariah with regards to Machitz Nisamila B'Yom HaShlishi, that is the Shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. We'll see this later on in the Masechta. So we see that there's a stira, that the Reish is not like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the Seifa is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Because the Kureb Elazar ben Azariah, Tahora Shaman Allah, we heard that he says in the third day, Pulat the Shech Lazar is actually Tahor. So the Gemara explains, Man Dilomoki Ketanai, the one who's not comfortable saying that one Mishnah is authored by two Tanaim, two different Tanaim. So they'll teach Tana Reisha Tahora, Umoki Lalakula Kureb Elazar ben Azariah. They'll say the Mishnah, the beginning of the Mishnah, when it says Minai Lepoleta Shech Lazar B'Yom HaShlishi Shetei Temeah, they change the gear to Shaneh that Shetei Tahora. The third day it's Tahora, and this way the entire Mishnah is consistent and like one opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. But Man, the Gemara says, Man Demokim Ketanai, the one who's comfortable saying that one Mishnah can be authored by two different Tanayim, they'll say the Reisha is the Rabbanan, who say that even on the third day it's Polet the Shech Lazer's Tamei, and they'll say the Seifa is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So Gemara now is going to go through the details. It's a little bit tricky, the rest of the Amud here, about the calculations of the 3 days, but let's take it slowly. So Tanya Rabbanan, the Brayse says there's actually a three-way machlokas how long Shech Lazera remains Tamei. So Poletes Shech Lazera B'Yom HaShlishi Tahora, on the third day it's Tahor, that's the opinion of Divrei Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. Not like our Mishnah, but there's a different opinion that's Tahora on the third day. Rebbe Yishmael Omer, Pamim Shein Dalet Onos, Pamim Shein Chamisha Onos, Pamim Shein Shish Onos. So Rabbi Shmuel doesn't say it goes based on days, rather goes based on onos. And ona is time periods. So the day is an ona, and the night is a night is an ona. So one day, every day has two onos. There's a day and the night of every single day. So he says it goes based on onos, not days, but onos. So just to figure out what this means, we'll read Rashi slowly. Look at the three narrow lines up in Rashi. Rashi says that Rabbi Shmuel omer pamim shein v'chulu, balachlok v'lomer. Rabbi Shmuel comes along to argue. The Poletes Gimel L'Shimush Tumeah. Number one is he holds that it is still Tamei on day three against Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. About Poletes B'Dal Torah, but if it comes out on the fourth day of Tashmish, so then the Shech Lazara, he would agree, is Tahor. Umodinu L'Cha, the Mikta Tayom Kekulu, and he holds that a part of a day is as if it's the entire day. The Lohik Pida Torah Ela B'Minin Shayamim V'Lo B'Minin Ha'onos. That the Torah is not makbid on how many onos, it's makbid on days. So he explains one by one. So this is all sheet this Rabbi Yishmael. Pamim shein dalet onos, sometimes 3 days could be only four onos. How? Onos shlemos, four full shlemos, four full onos. Shim shadalet b'shabbos im chashecha. Let's say he and the husband and wife had tashmish on Wednesday, dalet b'shabbos Wednesday, right before nightfall. Pleitasa Tameya at Chilas Shabbos. It's Tame until the beginning of Shabbos. Let's count. So it was Wednesday, late afternoon. So that's one owner, that Wednesday at day. Wednesday night is the second one. Thursday morning. I'm sorry. Start again. Wednesday night, read number one. Then Thursday night. And then Friday morning, that's four onos. And then right by Friday night, that's considered the third day. The fourth day, that's already Tame. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the 3 days. And then by the Friday night, it's already the fourth day, it's not Tame. But that was only four onos. So you could have 3 days and four onos. And then he says you could have five onos. What are five onos? So he says if it Tashbish was to took place at the beginning of the Wednesday morning, let's say. So that's going to still be 3 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But since you're started from the Wednesday morning, so all Wednesday is another onos. That's five onos. And then the case of six onos is when they had a Tashmish beginning the night of Wednesday. Wednesday night, we're now, Tuesday night really. Tuesday night, which is really Leil Revi, so it's Tuesday night, which is really Wednesday. It's really 3 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But six onos because Tuesday night's one ona, Wednesday morning, Wednesday night, Thursday morning, Thursday night, and then Friday morning, those are six onos. So you could have 3 days. Sometimes they're four onos, sometimes they're six onos, sometimes they're five onos, depending when Tashmish was, but it's really 3 days of Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. That's Shitas Rabbi Yishmael. Comes along now, he had a third opinion, which is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva Omer, back inside the Gemara, halfway down the Amud, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Li'olam Chamisha, they're always five onos, always. Nothing to do with days, has to do with onos. The imya, because according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, it was 2 days. Rabbi Yishmael was 3 days, and Rabbi Akiva says five onos, a completely different way of measuring. So liolam chamisha vim yatzasa miktas ona rishona nosin la miktas ona shishis. If let's say the first ona, it's always five onos, but let's say the first ona was only a part of an ona, it was only half of an ona, so you make up the other half of an ona at the other end, so sometimes it could dip into the sixth ona. So even though you hold five, it has to be five full onos of 12 hours each. 12 hours each. So hopefully that's clear. So the Gemara says now, Amru Rabbanan Kame Durav Papa. So the Rabbanan were learning this sugya, this brice of three opinions in front of Rapapa. Amru La Adar say Rapapa La Rabba. Rapapa was learning it in front of Rabba. And they analyzed as follows. Bishma, I understand. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Ki Rabbanan, Damar B'chamisha, Avad Prisha, and Rabbi Shmuel Kabiyosi, Damar B'dalad, Avad Prisha. So I'll explain what that means, and we'll go back inside. So there's a machlok, because we're going to see in Amud Beis. At what day of the week did they do Prisha? Did they do Shlosh Shemi Hagbalah, 3 days, or perhaps 2 days of Hagbalah, of separation, before Har Sinai? So one of them holds, the Rabbanan holds, it was on the Thursday, Chamisha B'Shabbos, the fifth day of the week, that's Thursday, and Rabbi Yossi holds it was a Berivi B'Shabbos Wednesday. So now, so that Machlokas, which we haven't seen yet, it works out very nicely according to back inside that Bishma, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who holds by already the third day, it's Tahor, so you really only need 2 days of separation. He holds like Rabbanan, Damri B'Chamisha Avid Prisha. On the Thursday, the fifth day of the week, is when they did a Prisha. So Thursday and Friday, they separated from each other. Already by Shabbos, they accepted the Torah, even if they saw the Sheikh Lazer on Shabbos, Pulet the Sheikh Lazer, that's Tahor. It's already the third day. So Thursday, Friday is the separation. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah matches up nicely with the Shita of the Rabbanan. Rabbi Shmuel, who holds that for 3 days, Pulet the Sheikh Lazer could become Tameh, he holds like Rabbi Yossi, Damar Berivi of Aprisha. On the fourth day of the week, on the Wednesday, is when they did Aprisha. So that means Wednesday, Thursday, Friday when the Aprisha was done, because you need 3 days of separation, so it's not Tameh. So that works out very nice. Ella Rabbi Akiva asks the Gemara, come on, who does he hold like? We only have two opinions of the Rabbanan and the Rabbi Yossi when the Prisha was done. And both the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi say it's based on days, either the Wednesday or Thursday, but nowhere do they mention anything about an Ona, about a 12-hour period. Where does that come from? How does he know? So the Gemara explains that Leolim really, Rabbi Yossi, really, Rabbi Akiva does hold like Rabbi Yossi, that it was done on Dalet, the fourth day of the week, on Wednesdays when the Prisha was done. Uchedomer Rav Ada Bar Abba, that this chiddush of Rav Ada Bar Abba, that Moshe bashkama Allah, ubashkama yard. When Moshe went up and when Moshe went down, it was always first thing in the morning. Yard bashkama. How do we know he went down from the mountain and hashkama Allah? Rather, again, bashkama Allah. How do we know he went up bashkama? He went up first thing in the morning. This vayashkim Moshe baboker vayal el har Sinai. He went up early in the morning so that he ascended in the morning bashkama. And how do we know Bashkama Yarod? He went down first thing in the morning as well. The Chassid says, Leich Reid Valisa Etav Aaron Imach. You should go down, you and Aaron. You should go down to go up. So we see that the same pasuk says Reid Valisa, Makish Yirido Aliyah, to connect the going down to the going up. Ma Aliyah Bashkama, just like when he went up to the mountain, to Har Sinai, it was Bashkama. Sa'af Yirido Bashkama, so too when he descended from the mountain, it was Bashkama. So what's the point of that? The point is that yes, Einechanami, Rabbi Kiva agrees that it was on a Wednesday, like the position of Rabbi Yossi is when they separated, but it was Wednesday morning because when Moshe came down to tell them the din of a Shloshim Megbala, it was Bashkama. So now if you count the Onos, it ends up being Wednesday, because it was Wednesday morning, he came down to tell them. So you have all day Wednesday, you have Wednesday night, you have Thursday night, then you have Friday. Those are five Onos. That's how Rabbi Kiva knows his five Onos. We'll get to Friday night in just a second, but that's how we know the five Onos. So this explains each of the Shitas of Rabbanim, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, rather Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Akiva. So Gemara then says now, Lama lu lamei merlu, why do you have to say this, that to tell them to separate in the morning? You should have told them to separate at night time, because v'ha'am ravuna Yisrael kadoshim hein, that Yisrael, Klai Yisrael, are very kadosh, vein mishamshim b'tosem b'yom, and they don't have tashmish during the daytime, it's inappropriate, it's not sneeze. So as Rashi explains the question, look at Rashi two lines up. Uparchinan lomali lemeimer lohu shachris, why do you have to tell them to separate in the morning, during the daytime? But lav hachi nami lohavim mishamshi, without Moshe Rabbeinu telling them what to do, they would know it's also to have tashmish because it's inappropriate by yom. So the Gemara says, not true, because there are eitzas to have tashmish even by yom. As the Gemara explains, ha'amarava im haya base eifel mutter, if it was dark, the shades were closed, then it would be permitted. And Amar Rav Vitamer Papa Tamn Chacham Mafu Patalisa Mutter. The Tamn Chacham Mayas Tashmish is Rashi says Tamn Chacham Hu Tzanua Vlo Yistakel. He doesn't look Sagile B'Mapu Patalisa. It's simply enough with a cover, a blanket, that would be sufficient. So we see there are eights to have Tashmish even by Yom, and that's why already the warnings had to come in Wednesday morning. Gemara now says, going on to Pei Vavam and Beis as follows. The Gemara says V'ha Tevil Yom Ninu, weren't they Tevil Yom? So great, granted. So they went to the mikvah. They understand they went to the mikvah at nighttime. Friday night is when they went to the mikvah. So now they went to the mikvah at nighttime. And then they accepted it to Shabbos morning. We'll see the calculation of the days. But everyone agrees that Kabbalah Sotara took place on Shabbos. So it took place on Shabbos and the Shabbos morning. So they went to the mikvah Friday night. There's still Tivul Yom. Tivul Yom, and when a person goes to the mikvah, the Tower, but they still need Harav Shemesh. They still need a sunset to complete the Tower process. So if they went to the mikvah Friday night, so the next morning, since it didn't set, the sun didn't set yet for after their tefillah, so they're tivul yom. And tivul yom, sugyas and kachim is matame, it's possible certain things, kachim and shuma. So they accepted the Torah as tivul yom. Shouldn't they be completely tower? And the Gemara says, Abai bar Ravin, Rav Chanina bar Avin, Damri Tavaya, both of them hold nitnu Torah b'tivul yom. It was given, okay. In Echanami, the Torah is given when the Tivul Yom. What's the problem? They were not actually Tamei. They perhaps were not fully Tahor, but they weren't Tamei either, and therefore it was accepted when they're Tivul Yom. So the Gemara says, Yosu Maremar is sitting down, Vekamar La Hashmaisu, he's learning this Sugya. Amrele Ravina the Maremar. Ravina says to Maremar, Nitna Kamris or Ruuya Kamris? Was the Torah actually given when they were Tivul Yom, or were you just saying that it was Ruuya? It could have been given, but it wasn't actually given when they're Tivul Yom. Amalei Ruuya Kamina. So he says back, Marimar says, it was fit for them to receive the Torah as Tivul Yom, but Lamaisa, they actually were not Tivul Yom. How were they not Tivul Yom? Didn't they go Friday night? So Rashi explains that they went right before sunset. Mamash right before Shabbos, so it was ready. They had the tefillah, and then they had the sunset, so they were not actually tivul yom, but it could have been, they would have been fine as well. Just look at Rashi to see that inside where it says, Ru'uya Kamina. Know that they're fit to receive the Torah, but they didn't actually receive it as tivul yom. Rashi explains here, Ru'uya Kamina, Ru'uya Linatin L'tivul Yom, U'kasavri Hani Tanai Lok Bida Torah Tivul Yom. They weren't concerned that they were tivul yom. Delok siv harav shemesh elin kachim. The need for the sunset only with respect to kachim, but with respect to other dinim like kabbalah sotara, they didn't need harav shemesh. So in the lemaisa, even though they were tivul yom, they were really tar legamri. The hilkach kol shloshi yomim ha'amurim leinim prisha huskakal yos kodim tefila umi ulo nitna letivul yom. The lemaisa, it wasn't given to tivul yom, even though it could have been. The fisha tivul mibod yom, as Rashi says. They went to the mikvah right before sunset. Paltu, and they didn't have any, and the women were not poletus from that point after. Vimhayu poletus, if they were to poletus, you know, Friday, the mamish, that last few minutes of Friday, if it was still within the third day, they'd be tameh. If they were to pull out this, those last few moments, then yichazu v'yitablu mishetichshich. They would have to go back to the mikvah again. Avalohu tzurach l'kach. But was it necessary? Because the moment they all went to the mikvah, like with seconds to go, the sun set, and no one was pulled out this at that point. And had they been pulled out this after sunset, it's already too late. It wouldn't be tameh. It's already on day 4 or day 3, depending how you paskin respectively. So then the Gemara says 6 lines down from the top. V'litpili b'ni shimshi, v'likabli Torah b'ni shimshi. So Lamaisa right now, what took place, the order of events, was that the Friday night is when they went to the mikvah, or moments before Friday night they went to the mikvah, and they were v'likabli the Torah Shabbos morning. So the Gemara asks, why didn't they go to the mikvah? B'ni shimshi is always a reference to Friday night. Why didn't they go to the mikvah Friday night and also receive the Torah at Friday night as well? Why did they wait until the morning? Again, litpulu b'ni shimshi, v'likabli Torah b'ni shimshi. Why not also receive the Torah Friday night? And so the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Amr of Yitzchak, Lo Mirosh B'Seser Dibarti. It's a Pasuk that's found in Yeshaya, that I didn't speak to you in a time of Seser, of secrecy, of darkness. I wanted to give the Torah in broad daylight, and that's why they waited for the morning. So the Gemara says, okay, so Litbulu B'Tzafra the Shabbasa, L'Kabla Torah B'Tzafra the Shabbasa. So why not have them go to the Mikvah Shabbos morning and receive the Torah Shabbos morning? Why did you have to separate the Tefillah at nighttime and the Kabbalah in the morning? So Amr Yitzchak again, he says, Shelo yehei halu holchin lekabel Torah v'halu holchin letfilah. They didn't want people busy. They wanted us to, Hashem wanted us to go receive the Torah, but to have people run into the mikvah and then go receive the Torah, people are going to be running in different directions. They want to have complete focus on simply the Kabbalah Satorah, and for that reason, it was ordered that they go to the mikvah Friday night and only receive the Torah Shabbos morning without any distractions. So then the Gemara says, Amr Rabbi Chiya bar Rabbi Abi, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Zu, Divir Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva. What we discussed up until this point was all the opinions of Rabbi Shmuel and that of Rabbi Akiva. But the truth is, about Chachamim, there is the opinion of the Chachamim, Sheish, Om Chachamim, Omim, Sheish, Onos, Shlemos, Ba'inan. There's really a fourth opinion, which is 6 full Onos. That's the opinion of Chachamim. Rashi just explained, look at Rashi on the narrow lines around 15 up. 15 narrow lines up, he says, about Chachamim Omrim Sheish Onos Shlemos, you need 6 full Onos. Savri Lehu, they hold Rabbi Yossi. Then Rabbi Arba Avid Prisha. They hold Rabbi Yossi that on the ready Wednesday is when Prisha was done. Ubashkama Rabbi Kiva, they hold Rabbi Kiva as well, that first thing in the morning when it was given. So now if you do the calculations from Wednesday, of Wednesday, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday, I'm missing one, I think. I'm missing one. Hold on, let's do that one more time. So again, Hisavilu Krabi Yosi, Dami Ba Arba Ovid Prisha, Ubashkama Krabi Kiva, Velesa, here we go. I missed that next line, Rashi. Velesa Lutavi Belel Shabbos, Elasvilu, Dosin Shatavu Lel Shabbos, Paltu Lacha Tvila, who talk with Tvoba Shabbos Shachris. There are those who, if you were pulled out this Friday night after the Tvila, you would have to go to the mikvah again Shabbos morning. So you have again the Wednesday morning, Wednesday night, Thursday morning, Thursday night, Friday morning, and Friday night. Those are 6 full onos where the Sheikh Vazera, Poletis Sheikh Vazera, would still be Tameh. That was the Shita Chachamim. So there are 4 total Shitas of how exactly they did the proper Prisha and the Dinim. And it all relates to how they understand the Tumah of Poletis Sheikh Vazera. Now the Gemara says and points out this whole discussion of Poletis Sheikh Vazera about being if 2 days or 3 days or onos, 5 onos, 6 onos, all this the Gemara says, Amr of Chista. Machlokes, Shapirsha, Minaisha. All true only when the Sheikh Vazera comes out from the woman after having Tashmish. Aval, Pirsha, Minaish. If it comes from a man, it's Timea, Kozman, Shilacha. For the man, the definition of a man, as long as the Zera is still Lacha, it's still wet, that's still considered Tamei, no matter how many days pass on. As Rashi says, about Pirsha, Minaish. Ahabeged, Mitame, Leolm. It's always going to be Tamei as long as it remains Lacha. So the Gemara then says, asks, Meisiv Rav Sheshes, V'chol Beged, V'chol Or Sheyel, Lav Sheikh Azera, Prad Lav Sheikh Azera, Sheyisrucha, that any Beged, any cloth that has on it, Sheikh Azera, is Tameh, unless it's Sheikh Azera, that's Srucha, that's ruined, that doesn't have the ability to turn into a Vlad. My Lav Shepir Shem and Ish is not referring to Pir Shem and Ish, that if it separates from a man, that if it doesn't have the ability to be Mazriya, even though it's still Lacha, it's Tahor. So you see, it's not nothing to do with lacha. It has to do with being a lezria, srucha, not lacha. And Gemara says, no, lo, shapir shimina isha. This din, this drash in the pasuk is based on when it separates from a woman, the definition is srucha or not srucha. 3 days or not 3 days. But with respect to pirshim and aish, as long as it's lacha, that has the ability to be metame. So Gemara asks a couple of interesting questions, but it's really interesting some of the svaras here. The Gemara says halfway down, pei vavam and beis here. Boira papa. Shichva zera shel yisrael. Bimei nachas. Let's say this, we've been talking about a ben yisrael's a zera inside a woman, bas yisrael. And it's 2 days or 3 days, however long it's tummy. But now they're asking, let's say the zera of Yisrael inside May Nachris, in a non-Jew, in a Nachris, what's the din of if she's pulled out this Shechva zera? So the Gemara says as follows, that my, actually, you have to look at one point here, Rashi points out here, that every Nachri or Nachris has a din of Tumah's Zava to it. So even though Midirais is no real Tumah to them, but there's a Tumah to Rabbanon of Zava and Zava. So what's the din if they were Poletas at Shechva Zera She Yisrael? B'mei Nachris, Mahu. So the Gemara says, Yisrael, the doggy b'mitzvahs, chavil gufayu. A Jew who's always worried about performing mitzvahs, he's always concerned and scared and nervous to perform mitzvahs, that anxiety is able to, that the energy, the heat, all that ruins the Zera in a quicker pace. But a guy who's not worried about mitzvahs, they only have 7 mitzvahs to do, and even those are not worried about, it's not going to ruin it, and the zera that comes out will last for even longer than 3 days. Or since they eat all types of disgusting foods, that itself is going to ruin the zera, and will have the same dinim, if not, it will ruin the zera even further. If you want to say, we know based on the Rambam, it's understood that whenever it's Imtim Salomar, that's how we paskin. Imtim Salomar, if you want to say, granted, we'll give it to you, that's because they eat all the Shkatzim Ramatzim, and therefore it ruins the Zera quicker. So then, what about Bimei Behema? Mahu, let's say there's a Zera in a Zera of Yisrael in the Mei Behema, what's the status of that Zera if that Behema is Poletus? Do we say an Isha, the Isle Pruzdar, Mesrechas, Aval Behema, the Lesa Pruzdar? The biology, the anatomy of a man and a woman versus an animal are very different. And the prisoner has, the way it's set up in such a way, it has the ability to close off from the outside of the world of Me'imo, and therefore it's going to ruin the Zera quicker. But since a Behema doesn't have a Pruzdar, it's more exposed to the outside elements and will still have life and avir and air and oxygen to make it last for longer, and therefore maybe it should be different. Oh, Dilma, Lo Shna, perhaps there should be no difference. The Gemara says, take it. So there is an interesting Chassam Sofer here and a few other places in Shas, whereby he says, based on this Gemara, it seems to pass from the Imtim Salomar, that since the Goyim eat the Shkatan Ramasim, it ruins the Zera, and therefore he says, it's true of anything else that a Goy, the body, the way the Goy's body is versus a Jew's body. And he says, many of the tests that have been done with baseline medicine that we're using non-Jews as a study can't be used as proof for a Jew, because a Jew's body works very different physically than that of a non-Jew. So he says he doesn't think we should rely on studies with the non-Jews as the case studies. He says the only times we really rely on it when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, so they proved a certain study. This might be dangerous, so we have to be Suffolk Pikuach Nefesh, we have to be Choshesh for whatever has been proven from the non-Jews. But he thinks, really, fundamentally, based on this Gemara, that the body of a Jew is very different than the body of a non-Jew, and you really can't bring 100% proofs from what they've proven from their studies and their bodies. Gemara then says, last few lines of the Amud here, Tanur Rabbanan talks about now the stages, the dates leading up to Kabbalah Sadara. So Tanur Rabbanan, the Brisa says, B'shishi v'choldesh nitna asar sadibros li'Yisrael. That the sixth day of Shabbos, the sixth day of the week rather, sixth day of Sivan, is when we receive the Torah, that's the Tanakama, the Chachamim. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, b'shiva b'av, the seventh day, it was Machlokas, was the sixth, the seventh day, happens to be in Chutzarts, we celebrate 2 days, we're Mekayim both Shitas, Shishi and Shiva, sixth and seventh day, which itself is fascinating. How could it be? They argued on the date of Shavuos. It was only, that'd be 50 days since Pesach. So Gemara is going to explain what the Machlokas is. So Amar Rabbi says, D'chuli Amma Rosh Chodesh Asu L'Midbar Sinai. Everybody agrees they got it to Midbar Sinai Rosh Chodesh Sivan. That was clear. Ksiv Hachet says, "Bayom Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai." They reached the mountain Har Sinai on this day. Uksiv it says, "Hasam in Parshas Bo Hachodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim." So it says, "Bayom Hazeh and Hachodesh Hazeh." So the Gzeir Shev Hazeh Zeh Mala Halan Rosh Chodesh, just like over there by Hachodesh Hazeh Lachem is Rosh Chodesh. Afkan, so to here when it says "Bayom Hazeh" is Rosh Chodesh. So everyone agrees they got to Har Sinai Midbar Sinai. They got there Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Great. So now Chuliyama also, everyone agrees, B'Shabbos Nitna Torah, L'Yisrael, that the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael on Shabbos. How do we know? K'siv Hacha Zachor Asim HaShabbos L'Kodsho, you remember Shabbos, V'K'siv Hacha Mayomer Moshe Elam Zachor Asim HaZeh, so Zachor Zachor, Malaham Batsum HaShayom, just like there was during the daytime, Afkami Tzum HaShayom, it was during the Yitzum of the day of Shabbos. So both days were Shabbos. Fine. So before we get that, before we finish a piece, just happens to be something fascinating based in Shavuos that we know that the many reasons why we have Milchiks and Shavuos. One of the reasons that says the Ramah, rather the Mishabur brings, is because since we're given all the halachas of how to shecht and how to salt and how to prepare the meat, it took a lot more time for them to prepare meat than it was to have Milchiks. So the moment they got the Torah, the first meal they had was Milchiks meal because they didn't have time to prepare the Fleishiks meal. Too many things, Hagalas Kalim and everything like that. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe asks the question, I don't understand. If it was on Shabbos, so then, if it was on Shabbos, they couldn't have meat because all the melachas involved in Shabbos. So the shechita, milk required, they already had milk that was there. I assume they had milked the cows already, but to have to shech the meat properly, that's a melacha and everything else involved in, and salting the meat. And so it wasn't even shaykh, Torah was given on Shabbos. So of course the first meat had to be milk. Forgetting how many melachas were needed, just because of melacha Shabbos. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe proves from here the concept, and based on Yerushalmi as well, the concept that when it comes to Shabbos, Shabbos only takes on Shabbos if you already accepted Shabbos from the onset of Shabbos. If Friday night was accepted as Shabbos, so then Shabbos becomes a full Shabbos. But if Shabbos only began in the middle of Shabbos, a chatzi Shabbos, a half a Shabbos, then you don't have to keep the Shabbos. It's only a full Shabbos or no Shabbos. There's no half Shabboses. So since Kabbalah's Torah is Shabbos morning, but they didn't have to keep the rest of the time as Shabbos because it didn't start off as a Shabbos. And the raya is that you have a case of a ger shenis gair. Let's say a ger converts on Shabbos, which itself is problematic because Beis Din doesn't convene. You don't do gers on Shabbos, but let's say it happened. Let's say a ger shenis gair on Shabbos. What would the din be? So the Baal Shabbos says he wouldn't have to keep Shabbos because since the beginning of Shabbos he wasn't a yid, so you can't have only a second half of Shabbos without the beginning of Shabbos. So too by Kabbalah Torah, they could have done the Malach of Shechita and Malich and Bishul, all that, but the reason why they didn't have meat that first meal is simply because, as the Mishabur points out from that Medrash, that they just didn't have time to prepare all that was needed for the Fleishiks. So fine, back inside the Gemara now. So right now we have, everyone agrees, they got to Har Sinai at Rosh Chodesh, and the Torah is given on Shabbos. Okay, so what's the Machlokas, whether it's given in Vav or Zayin? So the Gemara explains further now, with the last five lines of Pei Vav and Rebeza, they argue b'kviya de yircha. They argue about when Rosh Chodesh was. That's the question. So Shabbos was definitely Kabbalah Torah. There's definitely Shavuos and Shabbos. But when was Rosh Chodesh? Was Rosh Chodesh on Sunday? In which case, Aleph is, Sunday is Aleph Sivan and Shabbos is Zayin. Or is Rosh Chodesh on Monday and therefore Shabbos would be Vav Sivan? That's Machlokas. When was Rosh Chodesh? Was it a Sunday or was it a Monday? And that the Gemara explains. Again, kipligi b'kviya de yircha, setting up the Rosh Chodesh, the month. Rabbi Yossi Savar Bechad B'Shabbos Ikve Yarcha. This first of the week, the Sunday, was Rosh Chodesh, and for that reason, Shabbos was Zayin, so Zayin Sivan is Shavuos. U'Bechad B'Shabbos Lo'amar Lo'lamide, when they got to Rosh Chodesh, when they got to Midbar Sinai Rosh Chodesh, Hashem didn't tell them anything, Mishum Chul Shad Orcha, they were very exhausted, so he just let them be and let's rest for the day. And B'Trei B'Shabbos, the second day, Monday, Amar Lo, he says to them, Atem tu li mamlechas kohanim, you're going to be a nation of kohanim, a special nation to me. And then going on to that, Pei Zayin, B'Tlas, on the third day of the week, on Tuesday, Amar Lo, mitzvos hagbala, he told them the lachas of a hagbala. B'Arba, on the fourth day, Avad preacher, they started separating. They separated Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 3 days. That's all according to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbanan Savri, B'Trei B'Shabbos, Ikve Yircha. No, it was on Monday when Rosh Chodesh was. Rosh Chodesh was, Aleph Sivan was on Monday. And therefore, during the math, Vav Sivan was Shabbos when they received the Torah. And so Gemara says further, betrayed B'Shabbos on the Monday when they got to Har Sinai, Lo'amar Lehu V'Lamide, he didn't say a thing to them. Mishim Chusha De'orcha, they were exhausted from the traveling. B'Tlasa Amar Lehu, on the third day, he says, Batem Tuli, you're going to be Mamlechas Kohanim. That's what he said on the third day. And Barba, on the fourth day, Amlu Mitzvah Hagbalah, he told him the Lachs of Hagbalah. And it wasn't until the fifth day, Behei Avid Prisha, that means Thursday, Friday, only 2 days was necessary for the Rabbanan for the separation, the days in May, Hagbalah. So we'll stop here. Mitzvah Hashem will continue tomorrow with all these calculations of Kabbalah Satar. Everybody should have a wonderful day.